There you go, the great Sasquatch, kid from Gloucester, welcoming 2018 in. And that does remind me, we do have a live concert coming up on Wednesday. More on that tomorrow, as we'll be playing from Greg Verga's Unfinished Music Studio on Wednesday at 3 p.m. But first, it's North Shore Sports Night. Hello, welcome. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, who is soon to be here, I think, and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, of course, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, always helping out, always with us. And we have a pretty jam-packed program here. We've been off for a couple of weeks, so needless to say, I'm a little rusty. I'm not even good when I'm not rusty, but a little rusty right now, and hope you'll bear with us as we try to get back into the sports scene locally here on the North Shore. Much, much happening. And believe it or not, we're almost halfway through the winter sports season already. It's incredible as we finish the first week of January 2018. Tonight, we are scheduled to be talking with Newburyport hockey coach Paul Yameen, as they've got a big game coming up this week on Wednesday with Linfield, and that may or may not be on our broadcast schedule. We're still trying to figure that out right now logistically. But Newburyport will be playing at the Peabody Rink. They'll be playing Linfield on Wednesday. And right now, Newburyport has a record of 4 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties. Meanwhile, Linfield, coached by John Gardner and his brother, and among others, head coach John Gardner, Linfield hockey right now 7-1, and he will be a guest tonight as well. Looking forward to talking to one of the big twin towers of Linfield hockey. Later on, we'll chat with Scott Cooper, a sports writer in the area who writes pretty specifically about Marblehead and Swampscott sports. We'll check in with Steve Baldessari, the Danvers High School hockey coach, as the Falcons are unbeaten in the Northeastern Conference. And we'll try to catch up on Falcons hockey and maybe what else is going on in the NEC. And we'll also chat with Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, who will update us on what's going on in Cape Ann sports. So pardon the clearing of the throat. I guess it's just one of the things that went with this cold snap that we had here in eastern Massachusetts the last week or so. And wouldn't you know it, ski weekend planned this weekend, and it's going to rain all weekend, but that's the way it goes, I guess. NBD. Okay, so I think when Tim does get here, I do want to ask him about the Patriots brouhaha or flap or whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's a big deal, but apparently sports radio in Boston getting a lot of mileage out of it. And we'll also maybe talk a little bit about the upcoming game on Saturday night between the Patriots and the Titans for our national maybe just chat. And it's always interesting. I don't know if you guys watch football this weekend, but the games did not hold a lot of excitement, although a couple were pretty interesting at the end. I was a big surprise, I think, to see the Titans beat Kansas City the way they did. At any rate, we'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly we'll focus on our local sports scene. And we'll be starting with Coach Paul Yameen in just a minute here on MSO. So please tell people about MSO News Sports. MSO News Sports, we combine news and sports, took out one of the S's, put the words together, news sports, or new sports, or news ports, however you want to look at it. But it is msonewsports.com, and we will have a lot of broadcasts coming up here, winter sports. We did a little bit before Christmas. Bill and I sort of laid back a little bit over the holiday, but I do want to thank all of our visitors to the website, keeping our traffic up there for our sponsors and our advertisers, so I do appreciate that. We did very well over the break, and biggest December we've ever had, so I appreciate that. All right, we will take a break and come back and chat with the Newburyport High School hockey coach here in just a minute. You are listening to MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night, and as the late, great Jay Pauley, great, great, great guy, used to say, open the windows, shout out, tell everybody that MSO News Sports is on the air. We'll be back.
Follow North Shore Sports at msonewsports.com. Live radio game coverage of the top local games. Feature interviews with players and coaches, both audio and videos. Join us Monday nights at 7 for North Shore Sports Night, an hour of local sports talk with featured guests. For scores, photos, radio and video interviews, live game coverage, spread the word. Check out msonewsports.com. Follow us on Twitter and get our easy-to-use mobile app, msonewsports.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, we're back now, and joining us now is Newburyport High School hockey coach Paul Yamin. And, Coach, welcome. Hope you had a great holiday break there.
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Rick.
Very well. You know, Coach, before we talked just before Christmas, I guess it was, and you were facing, I believe you had Westford Academy coming up. I'm looking at your schedule now, and you guys started off really well. And I don't want to call it a dip, but you ran into a couple of tough games there. You played so many games since then, and then you've reeled off three really good solid wins after that. So give us a little update since the St. Mary's game.
Yeah, we played Westford Academy. We went down there, and you know, it wasn't one of our better games. I don't think you know, 4-4 game, but we did come back. We were down two goals in the third period, so we battled back there and took the positives out of that one for sure. You know.
Mm-hmm.
After that, who was after that?
I just went off that. You had Winchester after that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry, excuse me, Franklin.
Oh, yeah, Franklin, very good team, very good program. You know, we went down there, it was a battle. Very disappointing outcoming for us. We were up 2-1 with, I think, a minute 56 left in the game, and we lose 3-2.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Those, yeah. What happened, Coach? When that happens, I mean, as a fan, geez, it's so hard to see somebody score in the last minute of a game, either or a period. What happens in there? Is that generally the other team? I don't know. You tell me. Is there a pattern?
It's a tough place to go down and play, first of all.
Well, they've got a good record, too. They're 6-1.
Yeah, they're one of the best teams in, you know, public schools in the state every year, and one of the reasons why we love playing them every year, you know, we're kind of back on our heels there a little bit at the end of the game. We had killed off a 5-on-3, and they had us reeling a little bit.
But,
you know, we gave up a goal, the tying goal, I think, with a minute 50 left, and they scored another one on just a break, two breakdowns, and that type of team, you break down against that team, usually, not, you know, they're going to put it in the net.
Okay,
that's what happened.
So what did you take from that, Coach? Because you're right back in it, and then you win three in a row and a couple by shutout. So it looks like the kids rebounded really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly played well enough to win. And anytime you get down to Franklin and think you could come out of there with a point or two, you know, you got to be happy. Although obviously we don't like the results, we don't like losing. But you know, we went toe to toe with them, and they've been in the state finals the past 2 years. You know, and so certainly take some positives out of that loss.
Mm-hmm.
We come back and play a very good Winchester team on the road, and you know, great game, good battle, and we beat them 1-0. It was so, you know, you get your bumps in the road here and there, but you know, as long as you think the kids laid it out in the line, which they did against Franklin, I can't fault them.
Paul, you know, you got a 4-2 win over Pentucket, 3-0 over Triton, and I remember when I talked with you before the season started, you said that these kids Could have had a much better record last year. They just missed it by that much. And it looks like that experience now is paying off.
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, if you look at our results last year, we lost 5-1 goal games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just about being understanding how to win and maturing. And I think if you look at our team this year, and you look at, it's clear that we're a year older, we're more mature, we're physically, we're bigger and stronger. So, that's certainly, I think, yeah, it hurt that we didn't get to the tournament last year, but, in hindsight, maybe it made us better for this year.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you mentioned the last time we talked, it started from the goal out, and I'm just looking at your goals against average here. It's very low, but I'm guessing the rest of the team is playing defense, team defense too. So maybe tell me a little bit about some of the guys who have done it so far. I mean, you mentioned your captains before, but who's playing well for you guys?
Well, we got to start with Kenny Hodge. And you just mentioned the goal out. He's been as solid a goalie as I've seen this year. He's playing with a lot of confidence, and I think the team is gelling off of that. We have some experience back there in the blue line. We have some seniors back there, Justin Knight, Matt Donlin, Dylan Rogers, three seniors for us back there. I don't want to miss anybody.
I know.
As well, but the experience helps, and with a confident goaltender like Kenny, yeah, I think it makes the confidence level on the team that much higher.
We transitioned from football, and I remember talking to some football coaches about their experienced seniors. I think it might have been Danvers in particular. Communication on the field, not only on offense, but probably even more importantly on defense. Do you have the same type situation in hockey where, you got so many guys rotating in and out? But I'm thinking back in the defensive zone, how important is communication? And I'm talking about, I guess, verbal communication or however else you might do it.
It's huge. In fact, I think I stopped practice twice today, asking him if we were in a church.
Okay.
So, again, I think when you have a kid like Kenny back there, he's a four-year goalie for us, and it starts with him as far as what's going on in front of him in the D zone. He's been very verbal this year, a lot more this year than last year compared to last year. And it's across the board for our guys. So I think it's just a matter of maturing and understanding what it takes to win,
You see a confidence building with these guys, Coach?
I do. I think they feel good about themselves right now, so somebody has to take them down a little bit. I did that today, I think, and
yep.
in a good way.
Right.
Which is good, and I think we got a real big game coming up on Wednesday night, so we're just trying to keep them focused on the task at hand here.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, Linfield is led by their big center, their big captain up front. And, they're off, I think, to a 7-1 start. So tell me a little bit about what you see coming into this one.
Well, they have their whole team back, I believe. I don't think they lost too many guys, and they were a pretty good team last year, So we have a little bit of a rivalry with them. And usually Linfield's one of the better teams. When I first started coaching here in Newburyport, they were the top team. So whenever we play them, no matter the records, you gotta come to play.
Well, I know they got that first line that's huge, and they're really big, and the captain there, Cooper Marenghi. We saw him play in the playoffs, I think, as a sophomore, and he just continues to play, and he's sort of he's like a quarterback out there.
Yeah, again, he's a kid that I've watched for 4 years, and you can tell he's gotten bigger, stronger, and he's more mature mentally out there. So he's going to be a handful. We're preparing for that, and we're preparing for that first unit. And, I think we're really looking forward to this, very much so.
Absolutely.
They're 7-1, and there's a lot of talk about them. So, let's see who the better team is.
Well, I hope we can do the game. We're trying to figure out logistics. Coach, I guess final question. I noticed we did a Gloucester game before the break, and I saw Gloucester versus Linfield, and I was stunned that Gloucester's rolling out four lines on a pretty regular basis. Certainly three lines, but they're getting their fourth line in quite a bit. And Linfield was rolling out three lines. How are you guys doing with that? It seems with this 2-minute penalty thing, you got to have more kids ready to go.
Yeah, depth is huge. You're right with the 2-minute penalties, you know, we've been putting together, I think, four combinations of kill guys, mm-hmm. which you have to have ready to go. 2 minute penalties is you know, it might not sound like too much more, 30 seconds, but it is. It certainly is. So that is a big part of the adjustment factor this year in high school hockey for everybody.
Are you getting most of your kids into the games?
Well, we have been consistently playing 10, 11 forwards in 5D
okay.
a year.
Yep.
So I think if you can do that, you can play four lines. We have been playing four at times, but sometimes it's spot players, and I think it benefits you in the third period, no doubt.
Absolutely. Too often I've seen the schools, especially in the NEC, where they're a little thin, you know, have to go with two lines so often, and so it's great to see the depth out there now. Well, Paul, I hope we can do the game on Wednesday night. If not, I wish you well. We're going to be talking to John Gardner next, but, best of luck to you, and, you know, we're going to check in quite frequently this season.
Oh, good. I look forward to it, Rick, and thanks for having me, and tell John I said we look forward to Wednesday.
You bet. Thanks, Coach.
Right, take
care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Newburyport High School hockey coach Paul Yameen. They're off to a great start. I don't think I gave you the record. They are at 4. I think it was 4-1-2. Linfield is 7-1-0. Hey, Coach, welcome.
Evening, Rick.
Oh, I don't have
you. Can you have them plow your street better the next time?
Say that again?
Could you have them plow your street a little wider the next time?
I'll work on it. The DPW highway director, when he was working, he lives next door to me, but he's retired now. And there's a difference.
Yeah, you think?
Well, because, you know, he had to get out at all hours, and so, of course, the road was dry, all the time. But
I also have a bag of ice melt if you need it for the front stairs.
Now that Peter... You know, I've been out there busting. I want to see your house. I'm going to go visit you, Jack. I was out there. I'm a little stiff still from Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
From shoveling and using the snowblower and so on. I have to help the neighbor out, and I got three driveways to shovel and snowplow. Plus, we've got the deck. We got the backyard, we got the side, and it was a good workout.
Oh, yeah.
Good workout.
Well, I did my driveway, my neighbor's driveway, because he was at work
mm-hmm.
for the duration of the storm, and he and his wife have a six-month-old, and it was imperative that she be able to get out in case something took place, so I always
Very nice.
Made sure that she was clear. I went to my next-door neighbor who was... taking care of his mother, and his daughter was out there shoveling. So, finished one neighbor's
yep.
driveway and headed to the next one.
There you
one.
Go. It must be cold because...
I know, I'm not wearing shorts.
I know.
It's actually fairly warm out there. It was like 30,
it is, it's
32.
Mild. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, it's like a balmy day yeah. out there. Right
so, did you have a good Christmas, New Year's break?
Yeah, very nice.
Good.
Very nice.
Good. And you're getting healthy, and everybody's healing and so on.
Well, I'm still the same. I'm no worse.
Okay, but that home and everything, you know, and
yeah,
life is good.
Yeah, everything is okay. Everything is steady.
Okay, we got to go to. We're going to talk to Coach John Gardner of Linfield next. But at some point, I want to talk about this this Patriot flap, which I think is absolutely nothing. It's a feather in the wind, and I say that because when you have ownership, management, and labor. Aren't there going to be conflicts? And when you've been together 18 years, to me, the question that nobody's asking, no one is asking, is, well, you know, you guys have run into problems before, I'm sure. How do you work it out? That's what I would be asking them. Because they always work it out.
Yeah.
You think this is the first time they've had conflict among the three of them?
No. I'll share my opinion when we come
Okay,
back.
Very good. Let's do that. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Linfield hockey coach John Gardner. And as I said, the Pioneers off to a terrific 7-1 start. They've got the game against Newburyport on Wednesday. We hope to do that game. If not, we'll be covering Beverly Swampscott at Salem State. We'll be right back.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood, offering traditional dining as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com.
Yeah. All right, we're back now, and we're joined by Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner. And, Coach, welcome to MSO. I don't think we've had you on our sports show on Monday nights before.
No, I don't believe so. Maybe you had my brother Jason on live during a game.
Oh, we've had Jason on. Yeah, absolutely. And the new look with you guys had that I saw you in the Gloucester game threw me off a little bit. But, congratulations on really such a tremendous start. And maybe you could summarize a little bit how things have gone. And incredibly, we're almost halfway through the season already.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like you look forward to it all year, all summer, all fall, us hockey guys, the countdown, and then next thing you know, we're 40% of the way through. It's crazy. But, yeah, getting off to a good start is always good. That way you're not chasing points. Again, we still got to get a couple more wins, but it's nice to kind of be able to, you know, start thinking about big picture stuff in February and, you know, in March. And not, you know, worrying about chasing points and stuff. But, you know, great start, 7-1, 3-0 in the league. And obviously Wednesday's the biggest Cape Van League game we've had since we've been at Linfield. So.
We just talked with Paul Yameen, and Paul said to say hello. And, of course, his kids are really looking forward to it. And as I emailed you, I'm hoping we can figure out the logistics and broadcast the game. It's definitely a huge game. But before we talk about the matchup, tell me a little bit about your guys, because I think most people are certainly familiar with your captain, Cooper Marenghi, but what about some of the other kids who've done it for you so far this year?
Well, our leading scorer so far has been George DeRoche, a real dynamic, creative left winger. He's got to be pushing 20 points already this year, instrumental on our power play. So he's been dynamite for us. Tyler Murphy, another captain, just a power forward, you know, good puck possession kind of guy, good in front of the net, so he's been key for us. On the back end, again, another captain, Joey Mack, big, long defenseman that can wheel, kills penalties out there for power play. He plays a good 25 minutes a game every game, so he's been doing that for a while now. He was an all-star last year, and he's definitely crucial to the team. So,
well, I know my favorite name on the team when I was watching you play Gloucester and your sophomore scored a big goal is Jack Hammersley, and that's really his name, Jack Hammersley.
It is Jack Hammersley, and we just wanted to call him Hammer. And my brother's been accustomed to the first time he did it was by mistake. He wrote Jack Hammer.
Of course.
Finished the last name. So he definitely got announced as Jack Hammer during the Christmas tournament. So we thought that was pretty amusing. But he's a new addition to the team. He transferred from Malvern Catholic, and he's been a great addition to the squad. He's a defenseman, but we converted him to forward out of kind of just depth. And he's been great. He's been great so far.
John, what's the style of play for our Gardner coach team? I asked Coach Yameen, you know, it's sort of a cliche type thing, but, you know, he said, you change kids year in and year out, but you want his thing was that he wanted his kids to play tough. And, you know, everybody has a style. What's the Gardner style of play for Linfield?
We are always goaltender round. I know that's cliche too, but our goalie, Aiden Kelly, is only giving up 9 goals all year. He's got like a 1.12 goals against average. His save percentage is over 95. So that helps. And then when you have a veteran Cora D, good centerman, and you just work your way out from there. Our wingers are good at blocking shots and, you know, taking the points out of the equation. So it's always goaltender out. It's always like close 2-1, 3-2 games. You know, just, you know, physical, get the puck to the next zone, even if we don't maintain puck possession. And, you know, that's pretty much what we're always all about.
How difficult or how easy is it to teach your forwards to play defense? Because, you know, it's a constant thing. I'm always amazed when I see kids work so hard in the defensive zone. You know, they get up to the line and they have to, they dump it in and they have to get off the ice. They have no chance to go into the offensive zone. And
that's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, obviously playing time's the ultimate carrot, so if you don't do it the way we want you to do it, you don't get to go out there. So, and we tell our guys, you could play a very boring standing around. You got to be disciplined enough to be in the right spots in the D zone. And if you're in there, your own end for 45 seconds, guess what? You don't get to play any offense. So it's pretty simple. You know, you got to be, you know, disciplined within our system. And again, if you're not, then we're pretty deep this year at all positions. Then we'll find someone else that'll be on board.
How do you rate offensive? How do you rate forwards playing defense, John? How do you look at that? What are some of the? I don't know hockey that well, so what are some of the things you look for?
Well, the biggest thing, if you want to start from our wingers, the wingers got to own their wall. They can't be a black hole when they get the puck or a turnover machine. They just got to be able to handle. I mean, it's not easy to handle sometimes pucks off the dash or off your skates with forwards and D crashing down on you, but the bottom line is that the puck's got to get out. Wingers got to block shots, get in shooting lanes, and they got to help, you know, down low, not too low, where we're running around and leaving our points wide open. Mm-hmm. Our centermen are basically considered our third D. Like, I rarely even refer to them as centermen. Our third D, down low, digging deep in corners and in front of the net. And then, obviously, our defensemen, if I don't notice you, then you've done a good job. If a defenseman's being noticed for the wrong reasons, then, again, I can't use you. If you're a liability out there, if pucks are, you know, end up in the back of our net with you out there, that's the ultimate indictment, and we can't use you.
Well, I've got to go ahead, Tim.
Coach Tim Kranz here. One of the things that I've noticed of Linfield hockey over the years is it's a power skating program. You guys look to get up the ice fast, get out of your own zone very, very quickly, and bring in constant pressure upon the other team's defense. And it's such a rare thing to find. I think, and especially in high school hockey, there's only certain teams that are able to do that on a consistent basis year after year. And you guys seem to have the horses every year that have that power skating game.
Yeah, we definitely like very similar, almost mirror image this year watching Newburyport and over the years. It's like we like to, you know, pressure the puck, you know, get it in deep, pressure, don't give a lot of time and space. So we do have, you know, we have a lot of ice time, so we have kids that get to work on certain days, you know, a lot of edge work, being strong on your skate, strong on your stick. But again, being very aggressive is definitely, you know, especially over the past few years, we like to be as relentless as we can all over the ice. So definitely something we try and bring to the table.
So, Coach, have you scouted Newburyport?
Oh, yeah, we scout everybody.
Of course you do.
Scout everybody.
I know. That's how I met Jason. You guys, I don't even know where you were playing, but he was scouting the Northeastern Conference up there at Salem State.
Well, that was more towards February when you kind of see where you're going to get seated and you want to have film and you want to have you know, information about every team possible matchup. So I remember he was watching a Winthrop Marblehead game.
Yep.
And we ended up getting matched up with Winthrop. So it's always good to have tape, know what you're up against.
Because the other thing I noticed looking through your roster is it's very balanced between sophomores, juniors, and seniors, with a couple of freshmen, one being a goalie. So you've got development of a youngster coming up along with a sophomore. But you have a great balance of kids so that the attrition doesn't impact you as severe as it might some other teams that are very heavily loaded with, say, a big senior class.
Yeah, we're lucky in the sense that 2 or 3 years ago, we lost 10 seniors, and this year we've got the, you know, spread out pretty evenly. This is the least amount of freshmen we've ever had on the team. You mentioned the goalie. only one positional player out there, which is a defenseman. We've been pretty much without him all year. He had a broken clavicle. So he's back. So it's nice. We're very hands-on with our junior varsity, so we have a good group of freshmen and sophomore down there. And obviously when you lose five very impactful, it may not be a big number, but they're impactful this year. So we're trying to make a good run at it for their senior year. And then have some other guys kind of coming in. I think we've got a big freshman class coming in next year, too. So, but, yeah, we do. We had 16 returners this year.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking the time tonight. And as I said to Coach Amin, we're going to check in with you often this season. You guys both have a great bunch of kids, and we look forward to Wednesday night. Whether we're there or not, we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I always love talking hockey with you guys.
Thanks, Coach. Take care.
Coach. Good luck.
That is Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner, and his brother Jason is an assistant coach. They're the Twin Towers. I can't remember who played where, but I think one was a defenseman, and I can't remember if the other. I think the other might have been a goalie. And they're each well over 6'3", big, tall kids, and great guys, great guys. And they've got Linfield playing so well year in and year out, and should be a great game on Wednesday night.
Yeah, they are, and they're a very enjoyable team to watch because they're such strong skaters. They're not a plodding team where they look to get up the ice, throw it in. They want to headman the puck into the offensive zone, get an opportunity. Again, as he said, own the boys, get in deep, get the puck out in front. Because again, they're constantly circling, and they're cycling in and around that offensive zone, looking for a rebound, looking for a pass up behind the back of the net, and that's how you get to be 7-1.
Well, I'm glad that I learned a little bit here. I just have to ask the right questions sometimes because I did see that they were looking forward to playing Peabody this year because they share the same rink, obviously, and I believe it's, I don't know if it's the first time, but that they did play Peabody last on, when was that? Yesterday? No, Saturday, and they beat the Tanners 5-1, and Coach Leonard's team having a little trouble getting out of the gate this year, but, you know, they're gaining experience, and you know they're going to be heard from.
Yeah, I don't know why Linfield doesn't use Kasabuski more, because I think it's probably just a little bit closer.
Well, they've got a good arrangement at Peabody, so they're quite pleased. They're quite happy, from what I understand.
Ah.
And as Coach Gardner just said, they get a lot of ice time, so it works out well for them. Kasabuski's, oh, never mind. Anyway.
You don't like that? I grew up skating on that rink. That was one of the MDC rinks that popped up.
Yes, I know.
Thank you, Bobby York.
I know. Wasn't it? I know. Wasn't it a? Was it a DNR rink at the time? Or was it MDC?
I think it was MDC.
Okay.
MDC right off of.
It was out in the cold.
In Fels Park. Oh, yeah. It was outside.
Open sides. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And every now and then, halfway through the skating period, the horn would blow, and you have to change directions.
Yeah,
that's when I got off the ice.
Okay.
It's a left hand turn.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
It's a good thing to be. I think it's because I played so much baseball, I can only go left.
There you go. That's it. That's the way you run. All right. We'll be back with Scott Cooper in just a minute.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Alrighty, joining us now is Scott Cooper, sports writer for the Daily Item and for Wicked Local in the area. And how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Rick. Happy 2018.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you as well. And, you know, I can't believe, I mean, first of all, we haven't talked since football, which is astounding to me. But we're approaching the halfway mark of winter sports already.
Yeah, a lot of teams are like 8, 9, 10 games in.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Where do we start, Scott? What are you looking at? What's impressed you so far with your beat?
This hasn't impressed me because it's bad. It's terrible. But Marblehead hockey team boys haven't won a game yet. 0-6-2, 0-6-1. They have not won a game yet, which is pretty amazing considering the the history of that program. I spoke to Bobby Jackson a couple weeks ago, and he said it was hard for him to remember one shutout in the season, let alone two, and they've been shut out three times this season. So they're struggling offensively over there. Very, very uncharacteristic of that program over there to be 0-6-1, 0-6-2 to start the year.
Did they have a large graduating class last year, Scott, that has left them sort of shorthanded in terms of experience?
Well, they've got 5, 6 seniors, but they did lose a lot of offensive punch from last year. I mean, they had a really, really great team. But about 2 years ago, they lost up at U Lowell, and if they won that game at U Lowell, they would have been into the state championship again. And last year, they won a playoff game and lost in the second round. But they did lose a lot of offense from last year's team, so they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I think the game that surprised me was the game that was telling was the Gloucester game when Gloucester beat them 3-1. And also Marblehead shutting them out 4-0. That was a little bit of a surprise, but Denver shutting out Marblehead. Yeah, they have come back. They lost to Beverly in a close game, and they came back and tied Winthrop. So, maybe they're getting their act together. But Bob, the season is rolling on. Have you seen them play yet, Scott?
Yeah, I've seen them play a few times, but they didn't tie Winthrop. Winthrop tied them. They were about 30 seconds away from their first win. Winthrop pulled the goalie and tied the game, so that was that's kind of a crushing tie. I mean, obviously you'd like to get any points you can get, but that one, they get a victory yanked out from under their noses in just a couple of seconds left in the game the other day.
Well, let's turn the page over to Swampscott. They've got a big game coming up with Beverly this week, so what do you see from them?
Well, they just had a nice emotional win the other night over Somerville. Geno Fair picked up this 150th win. I've talked to him several times, seen a few of their games, and he's just concerned about the team turning the puck over and getting better shots on net. They started out slow, lost their first two games, but, they've tied a bunch. They won the other night, so hopefully things are going to be coming around for them.
All right. And is it Marblehead girls hockey who's playing so well? Do I have that right?
Well, it's the Marblehead Co-op. So you've
Co-op,
had,
yep.
Girls from Gloucester, Hamilton, Wenham, Marblehead, and Swampscott on the team. And they lost a tough one to Winthrop the other day. They gave up 4 power play goals. Coach Chris Wells was a little disappointed, but they came out and beat Medford the other day 4-0. They came out slow in that game also, but they had a fantastic third period. They scored 4 times and kept the pressure in the Mustang and the entire third period, and picked up their 6th win of the year. They're 6-2.
Wow, not too bad, not too shabby. And I guess
it's going to be that Gloucester kid.
they got two girls from Gloucester on the team, and then with their cap, they're both. It's funny that it's the Marblehead team, but none of the Marblehead kids are captains. They got two Swampscott captains, and one is a from Hamilton Wenham, Grace Maroney.
Scott, what do you make of this 2-minute penalty now in high school hockey?
I would think they would cut them down. It's like such a big chunk out of the game.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
The games I've seen, it's lopsided. It seems like one team or the other is always skating shorthanded, and it's a tremendous imbalance. Have you noticed? Did you see that?
It's a 2-minute penalty in the pros, and there's 60 minutes.
Right.
You've got a 45-minute game, and you give them 2-minute penalties. I mean, I would think it should be a minute. I mean, unless it's a dangerous play, a hit to the head, or something like that. But for a trip or a hook, just throw them in there for a minute. That's just too long. I think that's crazy.
Scott, was this an ill-advised attempt to to what they maybe perceived or saw as an increase in number of penalties that were occurring during the course of a game over the last several years. And by increasing the time of the penalty box, the coaches would sort of, you know, bring the hammer down on the kids and tell them to be more disciplined and don't commit to penalties, because we know Gloucester hasn't learned that lesson. They still commit a ton of penalties.
Well, you know, there's a lot of incidental contact. You know, there's no check-in in the girls' game, and they're just calling. I saw a couple of penalties called the other day. I just don't understand.
Wow.
It just kills the flow of the game, and it's just they're just too long. I think they should figure out something a little bit.
Well, from what I understand, they're supposed to be
involved.
They're supposed to be going to a longer game, and that was the first step, I guess, was to increase the penalty length, and then they want to increase the length of the periods. I don't think it's going to go to 20 minutes, but I think something like 18 or something like that.
Why wouldn't you go to a longer period first?
Right.
And then put in the longer penalty.
I heard it's a financial thing, so lengthening the periods is going to be tough because, you know, they're paying X amount of dollars for ice time.
Yep.
And, you know, that's going to cut in. They try to, you know, shuffle them in, get a game in the books every, you know, 70, 90 minutes. And if they lengthen the games, they're going to be some problems.
Yeah, I think that 2 minutes is just silly. Scott, what else do you see in your coverage?
Well, Marblehead basketball, boys basketball, they're 3-3. They lost a tough one to Masconomet at home last week, and just was free throws. It just killed them. They didn't do very well from the free throw line. They came back from a big deficit at halftime and had a chance to tie it up with about 2 or 3 seconds, but missed a couple of free throws, and Masco ran out the clock. But did he get nice game, intense playoff game. Mike Giardi said just about every game they played this year has been a playoff-level intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, does anybody have a big dominant guy in the middle? We just seem to have not had a real true dominating, 6'8", around for a few years.
Well, Marblehead had their football quarterback, Andy Clough, 6'7", 6'8", but he did not play basketball this winter because he's got some shoulder problems. Mm-hmm. And he's expecting to be back for the lacrosse season. But they've got Derek Marino and Dewey Millett, both of them receivers on the football team, so they've got some height to get to the boards, and Marino can score pretty consistently too.
Scott, we got to move along. I got to talk to the Danvers coach, hockey coach, but anything else you want to mention?
That's about it. I'm going to be checking in Swampscott girls basketball tonight, and got a big weekend of hockey coming up this weekend.
All right, that going to be a Wicca local or the Item or both?
Swampscott and Marblehead reporter this week.
All right.
Coming out Thursday.
All right. Sounds good, Scott. We'll check in with you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
That is Scott Cooper, the Marblehead and Swampscott reporter, as you just said, along with the Daily Item. And we'll take a break and come back with Steve Baldessari, who is the Danvers High School hockey coach. We're running a little late, so let's do it. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right. On the road, as we hear, Steve Baldessari, Danvers High School hockey coach. Hi, Coach. Welcome back, and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys, too. Good to hear from you.
Coach, since we talked last, tell me what's happened. You guys are still on a good run. I think you have maybe one loss, but doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, we had a really tough game on New Year's Day against a really good North Andover team. Played really well for two periods, held the 2-1. League going into the third, and kind of had our first bit with adversity, you know, in that third period, and we ended up losing the game 3-2, which, you know, is obviously, you never want to lose a hockey game, but, you know, it was really something that we really learned from. I think grew up as a team, you know, from that loss, and really put together a strong effort the other night against a really good Beverly team.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously the kids listened to what you said in practice, I guess. So tell me about the Beverly game, because Beverly is flying pretty high up until that one.
Yeah, you know what? Beverly's playing with a lot of confidence, and they're scoring a lot of goals, and Coach Yeats has done a good job over there getting those guys, you know, back, you know, from where they were last year. And, And, you know, a lot of our guys know a lot of their guys, so, it's, you know, it's always a good rivalry with Beverly, you know, for years now. You know, it was a good venue. The place was, the barn was packed at Endicott, and I think the fans got to watch a really good hockey game.
You know, I'm looking at your schedule, and it doesn't look like you got any powder puffs coming up either with Winthrop and Saugus on your schedule.
No, absolutely not. And that, you know, that's the goal every year, is to get that schedule better and better. And, you know, we go down to Winthrop Wednesday night, which is always tough. And, you know, a Coach Dunbar team, they're always structured and disciplined, and, you know, they play a tough style to play against, you know, but we're ready to go. We really saw a big change out of our guys the other night against Beverly. You know, we've been striving for three consistent, you know, 45 minutes of hard work in Falcon hockey, and I was really happy and pleased that our players put it together, and I was really happy for them because I know they've been working really hard in practice and just haven't gotten the results I think that they really been hoping for, and you know, you could see it the other night, you know, especially in the second and third period. I thought we played a pretty good first period. Their goalie played pretty well in that period. And then, you know, the second and third period, we really turned it on and, you know, really dominated the game. And it was really good to see our players get rewarded for their hard work.
Steve, what have your kids improved on since the opening of preseason to now? What are some of the things, or maybe one thing that you've worked on that you can see improvement with them? Because obviously you started off with a pretty good solid core anyway.
Yeah, you know what, We know we have good speed in from the lineup, from our defense all the way up to our forwards. We know we have a lot of skilled hockey players, but we really need to take pride in the defensive zone. And, you know, that's something that, you know, if I would say we're in a game that we haven't been consistent in, that's the area that we haven't been consistent in. And, you know, it starts in goalie. We've got, you know, we're really lucky to have three strong goaltenders, you know, and then we really got to do a really good job in that scoring triangle in front of them. You know, and from then on out. And, you know, it's just pride. It's just hard work. It's just, you know, making sure we get pucks out, winning the small battles, blocking shots, you know, late in games, up a goal, you know, even or down a goal, making sure that we're not giving second and third efforts, you know, in our zone. And, I mean, I believe we held Beverly to one or two shots in the second period and one shot in the third period, you know, and, you know, if we're strong in our defensive zone, that's going to make our offense even better. And our transition game, you know, in that second and third period was the best I've seen in, you know, in a long time.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the staple of Danvers hockey from what Tim and I have seen over the years. So you maintain that aspect of it. Steve, what has the 2-minute penalty done in terms of coaching special teams? Has that changed the way you've had to teach these kids anything?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we... Every team's different, obviously, each year. You know, we have a lot of players that like to play the body, that like to play chippy, you know, ice hockey. And you know, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think the problem is that if you go a little bit too far, you know, you're looking at a 2-minute penalty rather than a minute and a half. And some might think that 30 seconds isn't a long time, but to me it is. You know, so we really have to be careful, you know, with our open ice hits, really have to be careful on our back checks that we're using our feet, not reaching and not, you know, using our stick as much. You know, so from the defensive side, you know, and the body side, we got to be really careful. 2 minutes is a long time. You know, from the offensive side, you know, we have two really good power plays. So if teams want to have penalties, no problem. You know, we'll go on the power play for 2 minutes. We have two strong power plays, you know, that we can put out at any time. And, you know, we'll take advantage of that when the time comes.
You know, Coach, you mentioned, you know, you're, every coach we talk to, and Rick always asks him about the impact of the 2-minute penalty, and to the man, everyone says 30 seconds is a lot longer than you think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, for years you could get away with maybe one power play unit or, you know, maybe two or three, you know, forwards on the kill and maybe just two defensemen on the kill, but 2 minutes is a long time. You know, and we try to get four defensemen out there in that 2 minutes, or sometimes even... You know, started off with two, you know, we get a dump or two, we change it up. We get another dump or two, we'll change and we'll go back to the original two. You know, when it comes to the forwards, you know, we're looking to get three or four guys out there in that 2 minutes. Not always at the same time, but we like to rotate whoever's, you know, chasing the puck, maybe, you know, is the lead PK, you know, on his way back, we can change it up quick and then vice versa and switch. So there's a little bit of, there's a little bit of coaching there, and there's a little bit of guys knowing the situation and being able to adapt to it.
So is that something that you have to work on in practice? Is the switching to get these guys acclimated to working with different line mates in those situations?
Yeah, you know, it starts when, you know, if you're a younger player, and you know, we try to get everybody you know, on special teams. So, you know, if we got our power play units out there and we've got some of our young killers out there, they're learning at the younger level, and as they, you know, as they get older and more experienced at it, you know, they understand it better. You know, the other thing too is it's off the ice too. It's in the video room, or you know, this week we'll be off the ice going over you know, walkthroughs, just knowing different positions where the puck is, you know, so it's constant. You only get 50 minutes on the ice, you know, so you really have to utilize your ice, and then you got to find other places where, you know, you can drill into your guys what you're looking for.
Well, Coach, two big games coming up this week. We wish you well, and we're going to get to one of your games here pretty quickly. But in the meantime, I hope we can check in from time to time.
Great. Always great talking hockey with you guys.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
Coach, good luck.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
That is Steve Baldessari, who was the Danvers High School hockey coach, and they don't change, man.
They're always a power. They are a power skating.
Oh, my.
As well, and their breakout from their own end, and it's the times that we have been covering Northeast Conference hockey, and no matter where we've seen them, at Salem State or in Gloucester or wherever, that breakout is just so impressive, and it really ever fails to achieve the goal of 1-2 pass, and all of a sudden that you're at center ice and you break it into the offensive zone, and the pressure comes immediately onto the defenseman of the opposition, and it's relentless pressure, but it seems like a different pressure than Linfield. Linfield is a fluidity to their skating. Here it's and I know I said power when I was talking to Coach earlier, but this is a power of skating that's very fluid, almost European in its style. Dim is power skating, and it's like you've got a bunch of GTOs lined up and just letting them rip.
Oh, and they like to take the body, like to go at it, as Coach Baldessari just mentioned.
They're not afraid, and that wins you the puck, and if you've got guys, again, cycling in as they're supposed to, you know, you get the scoring opportunities, and that's why they score goals.
Let's talk football playoffs with Nick Kukuru. Let's do that. Let's change. We haven't done that before, so we'll do that in just a minute. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, we're back with Nick Kukuru now, the Gloucester Times sports editor. And Nick, we're going to change it up a little bit tonight because we're nearing the end here, and I will get back to you probably next week about Cape Ann sports. But, you know, tonight I want to get your reaction on the football playoffs, the Patriots brouhaha, and I want to ask Kearns about it. Because my take on this thing, you know, you're familiar with the Brady, Kraft, and Belichick thing over that came out in
ESPN. Yeah.
Okay, so you're... You're familiar with that. And to me, it has nothing to do with Garoppolo or anything else. To me, it's a question of ownership, management, and labor dispute. People have disputes all the time in that hierarchy, and they figure it out. They figure out how to work it. But what's your take on all of this, Nick? And then we're going to Tim's going to react to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. I honestly don't believe that Kraft told Belichick to trade Garoppolo. I mean, I don't think Belichick wanted to trade him by any means, but I think he kind of had no choice because, you know, Brady's still playing at an MVP level, and, I mean, he'd probably be cheaper than Garoppolo after this season. I think that had more to do with it than somebody, you know, wanting someone out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the story to me, it's okay. Let's what can we do to upset the Patriots?
Yeah.
What can we do to turn their
exactly.
attention to somebody else so that maybe they'll trip up in the playoffs? You know, and this is a team that is simply driven.
Yeah, things usually do have impeccable timing.
Yeah, don't they? I mean, they come up and it's like, okay, here's this distraction. How well can you deal with this one? And they're going to go out and knock on wood. They're going to kick Tennessee's butt. You know, and they'll do what they do to Pittsburgh, what they usually do, and then we'll see them on Super Bowl Sunday. You know, they just have a way of dialing these things out. They circle the wagons. They close up. And they're not going to allow anything to distract them from the overall mission. You know, everybody said a year ago, you can't keep Garoppolo. You got to get rid of Garoppolo. Okay, well, you know, then they traded Brissett. And, okay, what did the Colts win? 4 games this year?
I think so. I think that's all right.
So he was not your long-term answer anyways. And is he any better?
Oh, no.
Is Hoyer better? Could Hoyer win you more than 4 games? More than likely.
Better than Brissett.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, losing him. But then the Garoppolo thing, you couldn't pay a backup $25 million. And they all knew it.
That wasn't going to happen. On the open market, he's going to get a serious contract. And Brady keeps taking team-friendly deals. I think that's what it came down to.
Well, the other...
I think Belichick didn't want to trade him because I think Belichick knows he had the next guy. But I think he was a couple years too early.
But the
that's the thing. He's 25, 26 years old. And if Brady plays another...
He wants to play.
3-4 years, maybe. That means the kid's going to be 30. And, you know, now you're on the downside of it. And you haven't really proven anything. Now, could he have gotten more? Yeah, maybe. But I think that he was waiting to see, hold on as long as you can, see what Brady does. And Brady's going MVP on him. And he had to make a choice. You don't want to put him in conference because you believe what the kid can do. And then he goes out to Frisco, who finally decided to play the kid, and he shows you the leadership qualities and the knowledge and the skill that he has after spending 3-4 years.
Yeah,
but wait a minute.
But he's not. He's played what 7 games in his career.
But I'm saying is that a big enough sample? No. But okay, you knew Belichick drafted him. Because he believed in what the skills the kid had. And when he needed to do it last year,
okay.
At the beginning of the year, last year, he did it. Okay. So
Nick,
you knew it. Do you agree, Nick?
I think so. It's definitely too small of a sample size in 7 games. I thought Brock Osweiler looked pretty awesome in his first 7 games in Denver, and we all saw how that's turned out with him. But, I think Belichick definitely thought he had the next guy, but Brady's complicated things, and it's a good, nice problem to have.
Exactly.
Well, final question for both you guys. I listened to the Boston radio, and it's amazing to me how people are mentioning that Brady is mortal. Brady had a mediocre December, and then the stats came out. They compared Brady's stats with Garoppolo's stats, and they're the same.
Yeah, so pretty much the same.
Yeah, so Garoppolo is all
Brady
world.
Brady playing in bad weather.
Yeah, and Brady played in a sub-zero wind chill, and he went 3-1 in December. I just don't see that as a slump.
Honestly, I thought the only game where he truly did not have a good game was the Dolphins' loss.
Miami,
I thought he was up. You know, I thought he had a couple tough moments
right.
in some of the other ones, but for the most part. He was pretty good, but
agreed.
Then you know, last week against the Jets, I mean, it was negative wind chill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough to throw a 70% completion percentage in that type of weather.
Yep, I agree. Well, Nick, it's close. We did something different tonight. It's close to the end for us. What's coming up in the Gloucester Times this week in the sports section?
Tomorrow, we got a little call with Coach Derek Geary and Pat McIntosh from Rockport Hockey, kind of weighing in on the. The new 2-minute power plays and how that's kind of affecting things and how they feel about it so far. And so the rest of the week is a bunch of game coverage. A lot of teams getting back in action after they've been kind of in scattered action over the holidays.
Yeah, that's sort of what Tim and I are doing, trying to get back into action here. Hey, Nick, as always, we appreciate it. We'll check in on you next week and see how Newell Stadium's making out.
Sounds good, definitely.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, and what are those much sound and all sound and fury, and what was the Shakespeare quote? You know, much ado about nothing, and all the stage. You know, it's like, come on.
Hey, congratulations to the boys of basketball and the
Gloucester, you mean, yeah.
And the hockey team and the basketball team for winning their respective tournaments.
Yeah, how about
first
that?
First time in a long time.
First time ever.
Yeah.
First time, and I for the hockey team, it's first time I've ever won it, and I think the basketball, it's the same thing, and it's been in effect for hockey 10 years.
Yeah.
And great tournament, as always. The Gloucester hockey team, well, both doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and we've got a long way to go, and be sure to check the website, MSO News Sports, every single day. We've got North Shore Today every morning. It's about a 5-6 minute newscast with myself and Bill Newell. And Bill updates just so much stuff with news and sports every single day on the website. We appreciate all the traffic that was maintained over the holidays. Thank you for visiting us, and let people know about it. And we'll get our schedule out there this week. Basketball, hockey primarily coming up, and we should have a game on Wednesday night. It will either be Newburyport at Linfield, or it will be Beverly versus Swampscott from Salem State. And check the website. We'll let you know more on that. Anything else, Coach?
Who do you like tonight, Georgia or Alabama?
Oh, it's tonight.
Tonight.
How about that? State,
yeah,
you know, neighbors playing each other. How about that,
seat.
Huh? What time? Is it 8 o'clock start? Okay.
I would think it'd be earlier. It will be 8.
I don't know. I not knowing either one, I would pick Alabama, but geez, Georgia's proved themselves.
That they have. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
It'll be interesting. I mean, two power teams.
Okay. Yeah, it should be fun. Also, the college playoffs have been pretty good. All right, that's it for us. For Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.